Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Seachtain, an Indo-Askeilige.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chur, agus súligam amach an seo, gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara I gcuir na meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthchar san I lis dúthail agus go mbeadh fanacht gáir a chloig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhíonn ann tar d'oraibh sé sin. Vin Marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
The only reason you don't grow it faster than its natural ability is you'll screw it up. You know, you go too fast or you go too slow. So I think it is within our ability now to serve about 1 million residents in Dublin, which is what we want to achieve this year.
That's about half the entire hinterland area.
It's a little bit more than half, I think. Our number, we calculated about 1.1 million that we're going to reach with the planned suburbs. We want to win big here. We don't want to be one player of a 500 different drone companies doing different use cases. We want to be the biggest thing the world has ever seen with delivery. We want to be in every single suburban household on the planet. And to do that, you start with things that are high adoption, high frequency products. And so you go straight to the boring, the coffees and the takeaway food.
Hello and you're welcome to the Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler. Now, when you think of drone deliveries, one Irish firm is considered to be at the forefront of the industry in Europe and maybe soon globally. Manna Drone Delivery, formerly Manna Aero, has just kicked off its biggest trial to date in Dublin's Blanchardstown, where it could do up to 1,000 deliveries per day. And this, according to my guest today, would be the most in the world. Bobby Healy, welcome again to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Adrian. Great to be here.
Bobby, just for those who haven't come across Manna or drone deliveries, remind us of what a typical Manna drone delivery is, how long it takes, how much it costs.
Yeah, well, a drone delivery, you take our app out, you order. Well, we recently announced Boojum as our first restaurant partner in Blanche, and you order your burrito. We ask you to drop a pin where you want us to deliver, hopefully your back garden, sometimes your front garden. And when Boojum make the food, we load it on, they bring it to us, we load it on the aircraft. Inside, it goes inside the drone, it's a big drone. And the drone takes off, flies autonomously to your house, hovers at about 20 meters over your house where you drop the pin. And we descend, open the doors and winch the burrito down to the ground. It takes about 6 seconds out of the aircraft. And the delivery time from, I was in Bernard Brogan's house yesterday. We did a test delivery for him. Or should I say he skipped the queue because he's Bernard Brogan. Hope he's listening. And that journey is about a 15-minute, so about half an hour round trip. And it's 8 kilometers round trip on the road. So I was noting those numbers. And so our flight time is 2 minutes, 40 seconds from Boojum to Bernard's house.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's an average 3-minute flight time in Dublin 15.
And we're talking about small objects. You mentioned a burrito there, but typically you've often talked about coffee, for example, maybe pharmaceutical items.
Yeah, we want to deliver everything. We're a drone delivery of everything. So our mission is really to completely replace road-based delivery for things within your community. Mm. So all local community businesses, be they restaurants, pharmacies, hardware stores, bookstores, you name it, any reason that you might get into your car or call somebody to do a delivery, we want to replace that with a drone. And coffees, yeah, I frequently use coffee as an example because it kind of points to how good the service is, like a 2 minutes, 40 seconds. It's 80 kilometers an hour as the crow flies. So we can get you coffee, still piping hot. And, you know, in what world did delivery of coffee ever exist until drones were invented? Well, they didn't. And now it's 35% of our deliveries are hot coffee.
And do you absolutely need a driveway or a garden?
You need 2 meters flat space, or if we're delivering liquids, it needs to be flat and less than a 15-degree angle. If it's not liquids, then it doesn't matter. I posted a video on Twitter the other day of a delivery to a trampoline, which I love because it shows, you know, the little amount of space we need. So no, you don't need much. 2 meters, most houses have. We prefer people to use their back gardens and their front gardens.
I'm thinking more of apartments though.
No problem. So apartments, in fact, we get it inbound all the time, and more than 30% of the homes in Blanchardstown are apartments. So we just agree with the management company a delivery zone or delivery zones outside the building, and that's where we deliver to. So it's safe, it's agreed in advance, and it's always clear. So no problem.
So if that's the state of play at the moment, is there anything to stop you from, you know, going more broadly? Dublin City Centre, for example.
Yeah, I mean, our plan is this year, all going well, to be in most of the major Dublin suburbs. And potentially...
simultaneously, at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it takes us 2 weeks to set up a new base. It's not difficult. We scan the whole area with LiDAR, so we have all the obstacles and cables, things like that. So it's quick. And we the only reason we haven't done much volume or locations yet is we want to get one perfect. We want everything to be absolutely seamless, clean, fast turnaround time, eight deliveries per hour per aircraft, profitable unit economics. So we've no interest in growing until it's perfect. And I think it is perfect now. We just want to prove that in Blanche with kind of higher volume. So I'd be surprised if we weren't in at least 10 new locations this year in Ireland. And I can't speak to the north side, but I can certainly say it'll be coming to my house as soon as possible. That's a priority.
That's in leafy rural South Dublin, yeah, isn't it?
Rathfarnham, actually. Right. So it's not that leafy, pretty concrete-y. But we do want to bring it everywhere because it isn't really a chest-beating competition. It's kind of, you grow a business always at its natural ability. You don't grow it any more or any less than that. And the only reason you would grow it less than its natural ability is if you don't have enough cash and you're not profitable. And the only reason you don't grow it faster than its natural ability is you'll screw it up. You know, you've got too fast or you go too slow. So I think it is within our ability now to serve about 1 million residents in Dublin, which is what we want to achieve this year.
Mm. That's about half the entire hinterland area.
It's a little bit more than half, I think. Our number, we calculated about 1.1 million that we're going to reach with the planned suburbs and whatever, yeah, whatever it is. But it's a big old population.
So, because in my mind, and maybe in the minds of others who've been looking at this, there's been this sort of idea of going from a trial to a full launch. And what you're kind of saying is you're pretty much at that point now.
Yeah, like you'll see, we're going to announce new restaurant partners next week. And in Dublin 15 area, we already have 3 locations. So we're live at one and we have 2 others ready to go in the next couple of weeks. So those are 3 separate physical locations. And between them, I think we have 22 different restaurant partners and small businesses. So that's big. You know, that's as much as you would get from any of the big delivery players. And so... aircraft's ready, the software stack, the tech stack is ready. We start flying in rain, by the way. We've never flown in rain, which is not great if you're in Ireland. And we finally were ready to fly in rain. So that was the final piece of the puzzle for us, where in Balbriggan or Oranmore, when you go, we were disappointing people by not being available when it was raining, which is ironically when they need delivery the most. So Blanche would be full flying in rain in the next few weeks. And so that means...
nighttime? Dark?
We're already flying nighttime. Yeah. In fact, that's when I bring people to do a demo, I try to get them over at nighttime because it just looks so bloody cool. You'd ask yourself, what madness is it to have someone in a car, a person on the streets doing the same job?
And the economics of it, are they roughly the same? I mean, if I order something from Manna in Blanche, what am I paying for that? 2-3 euro, something like that?
No, we're charging you fiver.
$4.99. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's a little bit more.
It is a little bit more, but you don't tip the drone, though. And you're also going to get it in 3 minutes, not 45 minutes. So I think now there is a world where we will be able to bring the price down at scale. And I think that's ultimately the plan, is to move to a subscription service. So you'll get, you know, all you can eat pretty much in terms of delivery. And so think Amazon Prime, but on steroids, but only for local products.
This is happening in Ireland now. I know in the US and in at least one of the markets where you're running another trial in Texas. What are your ambitions for outside Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love Ireland, but Ireland's a tiny market. And so we're focused on the USA. That's our biggest target market. And but we're also focused on Europe. So the reason things are going slower in the USA is that the regulations are not fully baked in yet, whereas Europe, the EU, has created the laws and the regulations that are required, has signed them into law January last year. So, you know, funny thing about Europe, everyone bashes Europe about over-regulating. But in our space, it's aerospace and aviation. You need regulations to be able to start.
So what can't you do in the US that you can do?
You can't fly beyond visual line of sight at scale. So what you see with Wing, which is Google's drone delivery program, is they have beyond visual line of sight in the Dallas metro area. They're going to be doing a couple of million deliveries a month this year.
So in the US?
In the US, in Dallas.
Because they have a trial in Dublin, I think.
They have Australia for a long time. They have a trial in Lusk. They were flying in Lusk intentionally to be beside us so that we could demonstrate our airspace management systems together, our UTMs together. And now they're in Terranure. They haven't started flying yet, but they're going to start flying medical deliveries from Terranure. And to be honest with you, I love having them here. It endorses Ireland as a great breeding ground for drone technology companies. We have the regulators, you know them, the IAA, that are incredibly supportive of not just us, but any company that wants to come to Ireland and build their tech. And that's why Google are here. Google are here is because of the IAA. They've rolled out the red carpet. They've made it very straightforward and clear to get things going. So the irony is that Google will be flying their drones over my house before I'll be flying my drones to my house, which is a running joke I have with the Google team, actually. But yeah, it's great. And so in the USA, Wing are the leaders. I think we're second place now. And so we do more flights a day than Amazon have ever done.
And you're just around Dallas-Fort Worth, are you?
Yeah, we're in a place called Hillwood, Pecan Square there. So we'll do there, you know, not small volume, maybe 400 or 500 deliveries a day.
So I think I read that Walmart say that they want to cover 75% of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Now, that's via partnerships, I think.
100%, yeah, and they will.
Google and
that's what they're going to do this year. Like, Google have a DoorDash deal. And so you'll open your DoorDash app and get all your Walmart products from DoorDash. That's how they're doing it. I mean, our team are over there at the moment doing test deliveries with them. And that's what they're going to do that. They're going to cover.
With Walmart.
Like, with Walmart. Yeah, but the thing is, you know, interesting about Walmart, there's a Walmart between 95 within 5 miles and 95% of the US population. So it's a great headline, but truth is the drone delivery and groceries aren't a great marriage. Sure, they're useful, convenience stores useful, but the killer app for drone delivery is perishable products. And that means takeaway food, coffee, prescription meds, things like that.
Something you need fast.
Something you need immediately, yeah. And you don't want to wait either for reasons of laziness or you know, casual dining or for critical reasons. And so we'll roll out in Blanchardstown a defibrillator service soon. We'll roll out a prescription delivery service for vulnerable. There's a bunch of other things we'll do which are not businesses on their own, but they're useful societal things that we add. And I think when you look at groceries, you know, really the really useful societal case for groceries is better served at ground-based robots, I think. And so, like, we've had that partnership with Tesco for a few years, and it's fine, it's good, but people don't really think about instant
grocery
delivery.
You're not going to do your weekly
shop
via drone?
No.
Yeah. So what is the most profitable drone delivery activity then? You've often talked about coffee before.
Yeah.
Is that the same question as asking what's the most common drone delivery? What's the most profitable sector to be in? Because when I spoke to Google about this, they were talking, they were very keen on medicine, pharmaceutical stuff. They saw B2B sectors being pretty profitable.
Yeah, there's a difference between profitability and scale of that profit, right? So the biggest space by far, at least a trillion dollar space, is the one we're serving, is delivery of food. I mean, DoorDash, Uber Eats, the top three or four companies like that, like Deliveroo, the companies that everyone here knows, they do 5.2 billion deliveries a year, growing at 15%. So that's the size of the current industry, and that'll be 10 billion.
That's what you're after.
That's the one we want, yeah. Now, profitability on a smaller scale, medicine, of course, and we want to do that as well. It's just we want to get the infrastructure present everywhere first. But if you think about optimizing the blood supply between Dublin hospitals or Cork hospitals or whatever they are, you know, that's a really good use case of making it really super fast to get blood supply from hospital to hospital. But at the same time, you can also do that with a motorbike. So in the end, your price point has to be, you can't charge ridiculous amounts. Yeah, you got to get it price competitive with alternative methods, and then you have to make it worthwhile doing, right?
Well, a lot of those facilities that you mentioned, they use taxis quite a lot.
Yeah.
And that can
yeah.
cost 15, 20 quid.
No, they're for sure they're expensive, but they're, I mean, there isn't a room for bringing in a drone delivery service that's £1 million a year. And that's the thing, right? Drone delivery is an infrastructure, and infrastructure needs utilization. Just like you run a fleet of aircraft, those aircraft need high utilization. So you can't have three deliveries a day, you know, from hospital to hospital. They're urgent deliveries, but they're better off served on a motorbike. So we will do that when the time has come, but it'll only be when we've already got the network. When we cover Dublin with our network, then we'll say to the hospitals, we can do it for you for the same price as a bus ticket, but it's a 3-minute flight. That's the right way to do it, I think, because we want to win big here. We don't want to be one player of a 500 different drone companies doing different use cases. We want to be the biggest thing the world has ever seen with delivery. We want to be in every single suburban household on the planet. And to do that, you start with things that are high adoption, high frequency products. And so you go straight to the boring, the coffees and the takeaway food.
You've often spoken those terms about the company's ambition, unicorn and then some. Where do you think Manna is on that trajectory? Are you where you thought you would be now?
Heading behind. So we're definitely go big or go home. We've no interest in halfway house with this one. I think we're ahead in our progress in terms of how far we are ahead of everyone else. And when I look at Blanchardstown and see what we're doing there, we're ahead of our progress, I think. And also things that have gone faster for us is the regulatory process and clarity in the EU has gone faster than we thought it would. So unexpectedly, EU is the best place to scale for us. Now, where in terms of capitalization, and we're way behind. So, you know, we've raised $45 million, which is, you know, tiny amount for this type of business. I mean, Google have spent $2 billion on their program. Amazon have spent $3 billion. Zipline have raised $950 million. And here's us in Ireland, you know, scraping the barrel, beating them all, by the way, with 45. And that's bad for us because we need more capital. For a business like this, it's very capital intensive. And so we're behind on that, but it's not a factor of us. It's a combination. Look, we're in Ireland, so there isn't a lot of capital in Ireland. So we need to look for international capital to raise. It's a big disadvantage for all Irish companies, including us. But more importantly, the stock market crashed in 21, and here we are, you know, in 24. It still hasn't recovered. We're probably halfway through a down cycle. So investors are very conservative. So therefore, we have to just be, you know, a little bit more conservative about how we spend and grow. But I think we've reached a pivot point for our industry now that it's pretty clear that there's a lot of belief now in what we're doing. So,
but you don't want to maybe raise another big round now at this point in the downturn where you might have to give a big chunk of the company away.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't mind about a big chunk of the company. The motivation for all of the team, including me, is to get the right growth level into the company, and we, you know, how much cash it takes you for that, for whatever growth level. We might be spending $1 million a month now, and we probably should be spending, you know, random, I'd say $2 million a month. We're under investing, right? But if we got $1 billion, we wouldn't be able to spend it. We'd just waste it, right? So as I said, you grow at the natural rate for the company and you stretch yourself as hard as you can, and then you get enough cash for that, right? So we're just a little, I would say, look, we're in very good shape. We've plenty of cash. We're not, you know, we're not in fear of anything. But I think very soon, particularly at the end of this year, we'd be ready to take on hundreds of millions of dollars and spend it well, you know, and return money on it.
And you think there's an appetite for that investment into Manna?
I think there will be. Yeah, I think by the end of this year, I would expect to have the business that we're doing in Dublin, profitable operation, and thrown off quite a bit of cash, as in positive margin. And if we do that, then you have a business that for every dollar you put in, you get $2 out. And that's not how tech is not valued that way, right? If you're profitable and you can grow, tech is valued at 30, 40, 50 times that.
Yeah.
So the climate, look, it might suit as well, you know, because we don't need a lot of capital now, but we're going to need a lot of capital, and it will become a constraint for us if the markets don't open up.
And obviously companies in the space that you're in, let's say that the broader tech industry are often valued as well on what the perceived size of the market is going to be in 3 years, 5 years, and your own trajectory on that. And maybe in the drone delivery space, there's an iron thrown into the works, a spanner thrown into the works by regulatory restrictions in countries like the US. Like if Dallas is one of only a few markets where, you know, you're relatively unencumbered, how does an investor judge?
Yeah, it's a big drag. Mm. It's a big drag because most investors are only interested in the US opportunity. And if you say, hey, there's 500 million people in Europe, you know, they don't care. You know, they'll literally say, Bobby, if you give me, you know, 10 million deliveries in Europe and 1 million in the United States, I'll take the United States ones all day long. That's just the way it is.
Where are all the European investors then? Where are all the, you know, the Scandinavians, the Germans, the French? I mean, there are some investors there.
Yeah, but they're tiny. They're billion-dollar funds compared to 10, 20, 30 billion-dollar funds in the US. And big bets are... big risky bets are the thing in the United States, and there's a model for that, and that model hasn't found its way really. I mean, it has for SaaS and certain what I would call comfy categories, like AI is the most recent one. There's definitely there, but our particular space doesn't fit in. It's still too mad for everyone to get their heads around,
yeah.
But that's changing. I think you're going to see...
I'm seeing these SoftBanks, for example.
Yeah,
I'm looking at what Barry
Napier.
Yeah, Napier, for example.
The legend.
well, look at the who we got as an investor there for.
Yeah.
And, you know, they came in with a lot of money for that.
Yeah, they did, a gazillion dollars and well-deserved. But Barry's a great example because he's in Ireland. He's building a business that has no right to be in Ireland. And he's a leader. I mean, he's got 3 or 4 million cars running his stack. And so obviously SoftBank are going to look. And there was a great synergy there with the Japanese manufacturers as well. But I'm very hopeful, not just for our business, but for you know, our country, that we can produce a lot of businesses like that. And we don't really need the capital to be in Ireland or in Europe, but we need a bridge to that capital. And I think what I mean by that is, like, Enterprise Ireland do a brilliant job, IDA do a brilliant job. The government policies are, like, I wish, but I have nothing to complain about, because Ireland does a great job at fostering tech and tech companies. And even the emotion and the mood towards tech and tech companies is hugely positive, right? But it's an outlier in Europe, right? So investors don't want to come to Ireland. It's a tiny country. There's very few opportunities for them here. And Europe doesn't help with that. So I think what Ireland needs to do and is doing well is aligning itself well with that US capital and the SoftBanks of this world, the Mubadala capitals, the sovereign funds. And I think Ireland needs to do a little bit of a step up there into pulling those guys in more actively. And
some of those guys do more than dip their toe in the UK market. The last time I looked at European venture money, Ireland per capita actually performed very well, but the UK was head and shoulders pretty much, certainly for American investment. Sorry, I should preface that. For American investment, the vast majority of it seemed to go into the UK.
Yeah.
Would that have been an option for MANA to...
Yeah, there's UK funds for sure, and there's US funds with UK arms in them now. Actually, some of them are now pulling back. It hasn't worked out for them well because of Brexit. But yeah, it is. I mean, the natural place for us to go fundraising is London and San Francisco, Boston, New York. London's definitely in there. And there are some hugely ambitious funds there. But, I mean, when there's a new tech space, having the biggest gun counts. And so if I'm funded by $1 billion fund and someone else is funded by $100 billion fund, I mean, I know it's crude, But you need big pockets to fund. I mean, in terms of investment size, Manna would need not far off $1 billion just for the UK market alone to roll out in terms of capital investment, debt, all that stuff that we need to put together. That's just one market. So there's no point talking to a fund that has $1 billion because they're not spending $1 billion. They're spending $100 million on each fund, on each company, right? You need either gigantic funds in the tens of billions, or you need the public markets, the stock market. And there, again, in order to float a company, you need funds, crossover funds that invest at a stage pre-IPO to get you ready for IPO and to get to the scale you need to be at.
So that's got to be the way that you're thinking.
Because it's 100% the way we're thinking. We want to get to $100 million revenue so we can IPO the business because, I mean, I have absolutely no interest in IPO in the business other than that unlocks unlimited capital for the growth that we'd need, because otherwise it's just a pain in the ass to be an IPO business. But this business needs to be a public company as soon as it can in order to get the capital we need. Now, we're a few steps away from that, but we have a path to that. And I think if we're successful with this current stage, which I'm pretty confident of, then we have one more risk stage, which is kind of moderate growth in Europe. And I'm hoping that the USA regulatory position unlocks in the next year or two as well. And if it does, then that'll change our opportunity, because then we're a US company, as in we have a big US opportunity. But we'll always be headquartered here in Ireland. There's no disadvantage to being here. I think we've all the talent we need. Literally there's no disadvantage to being here. So other than the pain in the ass flights to the US all the time, one of which I'm taking tomorrow.
Bobby Healy, thank you so much again for coming on the Big Tech Show. The very best of luck with your trip to the USA. And I'm sure we're going to be talking to you again very, very soon. JJ Clark produced this episode. Rory Bones was on sound. And I'm Adrian Weckler, and you've been listening to the Big Tech Show. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull, that's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.